Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, presented by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he's the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
I would have told you to ask me in a couple of weeks after the Dolphins lost, and I'm still not like over it. It's just the same. Maybe that's not the best word for it or phrasing. It was over it. I'm just not like, I'm numb. I just don't, it's what I didn't expect, but it's exactly what I expected. And yeah. That's why we took a little break, Sam, both of us, and just, we picked the last game to have our worst offensive performance, 7 measly points from the offensive guru of Mike McDaniel, Tua shits the bed, just fucking negative 31 degree weather, fucking unbelievable, dude. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, how am I doing? Like, in life, like, okay, because I've just let this team beat me down and destroy my confidence and mentality for years and decades. So it's par for the course.
Right.
As far as non-Dolphins related, I'm good, man. Doing well. How are you?
Life's good. It's good. Everything's good. Dolphins suck. I want to jump off a bridge and slit my throat while I do it, but sure. Yeah, I'm not angry at the Miami Dolphins. I'm just disappointed. I feel like they're father of a misbehaving teenage kid. That's what it feels like. And it, like you said, it wasn't surprising. Quite frankly, Chris, when we lost to the Buffalo Bills that last week of the season, I was pretty much like, oh yeah, no, we're done. We're toast. We're not doing this. We're not going far. We're not going to go to Kansas City in negative 30 degree weather and win after collapsing again. Granted, I chose us to win because why wouldn't I? I'm not going to go on my own show and bet against the team, but it wasn't a good end to the season, and it didn't feel, I mean, they have to be, in my opinion, Chris, the Miami Dolphins of 2023 have to be the most disappointing team in the NFL. Maybe the Cowboys. The Cowboys might be the only other team that can take that, you know, that claim. Now, the Baltimore Ravens lost. They were the favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win, but they built that momentum throughout the season. The Dolphins and Cowboys going into the season were like, okay, these are the teams that are going to do something. But at the end of it, it's weird to say it was disappointing, but the Miami Dolphins won 11 games. They had the league's leading passer. They had the league's leading receiver. They had a top 10 defense in most important statistical categories. They made it to the playoffs, 4th straight winning season, 2nd season making it into the playoffs. But it's a disappointment because 100%. They didn't win the division. They lost in the wild card round again. They collapse in December and January again. The expectations were basically Super Bowl or bust, and they absolutely busted, Chris.
Well, not only did they bust, but it's just the same rigmarole. We were watching it with Hard Knocks every week along with it. Just the whole, like, all right, this is our chance to, you know, take this adversity and do something with it. Like, I got so tired of hearing McDaniel say that. Like, you guys should be excited. We should be excited we're going to Kansas City. No, we shouldn't. We should not be excited. And I get trying to be positive, but sometimes you got to say, you guys fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like, you had every opportunity to host a goddamn home playoff game, not worry about the cold elements. You had an opportunity to win the division for the first time in fucking since my son was born in 2008. You know, the Buffalo Bills did everything imaginable to hand us on a fucking platter, the AFC East, and we just fucking bent over and shit it away. I mean, the complete collapse and disappointment. The only game we won with a winning record this season was like fucking Cowboys,
which is the other most disappointing team in the league as far as I'm concerned.
So they are 1A, we're 1B because they fucking lost to the other disappointing team. So yeah, it fucking same bullshit as always, Sam. It's like we're getting better, but like it's not, because like the games we need to win, we don't. And it's stats been the same for years. And now here we are sitting in the 20s in the draft to try to even fucking fix this thing. And we have a million free agents, tons of cap bullshit. And it's just, it's scary. Go. Are we going to, you know, be better next year? Like, I don't know, Sam. I don't.
Well, you know, next year is next year, Chris. And in order to get to next year, we're going to have to deconstruct the year that just was. And we're going to talk about the defense, everything defense on this episode. We're going to do it for special teams and offense as well. But before I do, because we are talking playoffs and it is Super Bowl time, ladies and gentlemen, of course, your stupid Miami Dolphins are not a part of it. But the road to Vegas is paved with San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs. BetOnline is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today and stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, let's start, Chris, with the defense, like we talked about. This defense, I mean, it's man, what a conundrum. So let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Vic Fangio leaves shortly after this season. He was the highest paid coordinator in the league. I think he was actually making more money per year than Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He was brought in after letting go of our defensive coordinator last year, Josh Boyer. He brought the Vic Fangio system with him. And along with him, we brought in some additional defensive stars, which we'll talk about. We brought back some veterans. And here we are a year later. Defense looked better. I'll get into the stats in just a minute here. But Vic Fangio's gone, mutually parting of the ways. And on his way out, he catches a flight to Philadelphia, where, wouldn't you know it, he is the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. The same Philadelphia Eagles, Chris, that he was basically a liaison for, not last season, but the season before when they were in the Super Bowl. By all accounts, he wanted to be in Philly. He's from the area. He's got family there. And would have gone to Philly last year if it weren't for some other circumstances. So he begrudgingly, I guess in hindsight, took the richest coordinator contract in history to be our defensive coordinator for a year, only to find out that the players don't really like him, Chris. Javon Holland, upon news that Vic Fangio was out, posted on his social media him holding rocks and then kicking them. In other words, telling Vic Fangio, kick rocks. Cam Smith, the first draft pick last year, defensive back who played maybe three snaps all season, basically tweeted out a little emoji of just an unlocked lock, meaning he's free because he'd been locked down or, you know, caged up by Vic Fangio. You had reportedly Jalen Ramsey rolling his eyes and not liking Vic Fangio. Reports coming out from Drew Rosenhaus, who, by the way, represents a lot of players on the Miami Dolphins, including Tyreek Hill. So he probably has pretty good sources on this. Saying that they tuned him out, that they didn't like his style, that he was old man, get off my lawn, shaking his fist. And the defensive players just tuned him out by the end of the season. The veterans didn't like the way he handled them. He didn't appreciate some of them, which we'll talk about in just a second. But he also, apparently, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, Chris, he didn't allow his defensive assistants to even basically talk to the team about the game plan. It was a one voice type of situation. Old school coaching, which you and I have talked about multiple times, does not work with today's athlete. But on the flip side of this, Ron Jaworski, who is pretty much just sleeping at the Philadelphia Eagles complex all the time, so I wonder who his source is, states that Vic Fangio grew frustrated with the players and how they just wanted to play. You know, Miami Dolphins players wanted to live that Miami Dolphins lifestyle, and they're out late and they're drinking and partying and maybe not fully prepared to play football week in and week out, which, by the way, I believe both sides of that story. I think both sides are true. Plenty of blame to go around. But it doesn't end well. Apparently, Vic Fangio and Mike McDaniel didn't really communicate very often. If you watched Hard Knocks, you noticed that Vic Fangio was nowhere near that train wreck of a show, which I don't think I blame him for that either. But it was very telling. Here we are, Chris, talking about the defense. Yet again, needing a new defensive coordinator who can take the talent that we have, as well as add additional talent somehow, and make a scheme work. What are your thoughts on Vic Fangio leaving one and done from the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, more like Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
I was a huge proponent of this signing, man. Like, I was excited when we brought him on. Hindsight, the defense statistically did well, even with the injuries they had. So obviously he is a good coach, but if you're not connecting with your players and you're not on the same page as your colleagues, as far as other coaches go, then this is a good thing for us. I mean, it's just not, He's the old man screaming at clouds, like you said. He's not going to change his ways. He's too old, been in the game too long. He wanted to be home in Philadelphia. He's out of the AFC. Chubb had a great season, other than him getting injured, because we knew he would. He maximized his potential in Denver. But I just hope the only way this to be a total positive, Sam, is if they make the right choice to replace him. Because if we're just juggling defensive coordinators every year, it's just never going to be us. It's got to be something solid. McDaniel's got to bring in somebody who's like, knows going to be here for 2-3 years. Even if he has wild success next year, almost like I think Detroit's offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Ben Johnson, right.
He just said, you know what, I'm coming back to Detroit. I'm running it back, even though I have had coaching offers. That's the only way we can do this, because the defense has solid pieces, but even as Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald reported, Chubb and Phillips getting injured in these significant injuries so late in the year, we might not be able to count on these guys till October, till November. So we're going to need a defense coordinator to come in, re-sign Van Ginkle if possible, you know, and have a scheme that the players like and enjoy and kind of matches our offense. Because if we have a solid defense other than the Kansas City game, we have an offense that doesn't need a lot of points to win. I mean, it does not need a lot, you know, a great defense to win, because they normally score on the 30 point side of things.
Yeah.
So it's a good job. There is pieces there and talent with a good offense to offset it. But McDaniel needs to make the right move.
Yeah. I mean, there's an art and a science to most things in life, including coaching. And I think the science of coaching from Vic Fangio, the scheme, and the different looks that he had was spot on. The art is maybe lost in translation, because the players just didn't like him. I mean, when you look at the stats, Chris, I mean, this is why you need the context of the art, or, you know, the eyeball test, if you will. The team was tied for 10th in the NFL for yards per play allowed, 9th in takeaways, tied for 4th in yards per carry, only allowing 3.8 yards per, and allowed the 15th fewest passing yards in the league. By most of those metrics, that's the top half of the league, and in some cases, top third or tippy top of the league, and all the stats that you would look at when you look at a defense and say, are they good or not? So the players performed, the coaching took, right? The scheme was there, but as somebody said, and I would give them credit, I just don't know who said it first, but something to the effect of, everyone wants an iPhone, they just don't want the first iPhone. And Vic Fangio is the architect of this defense, but perhaps his coaching style, the art of coaching, if you will, is no longer relevant, especially to young, rich, powerful athletes in South Florida who do want to live that Miami lifestyle and want somebody who can understand that and lean into that a little bit more than maybe Vic Fangio was willing or able to. I mean, it always seemed like the odd couple with Mike McDaniel and his, you know, style and everything that he does and stands for against Vic Fangio, who's very much in that Bill Belichick grumpy at all times type, you know, scenario. But sometimes those odd couples work. In this case, it clearly did not. So I do give credit to the Miami Dolphins for parting ways with Vic Fangio, who wanted to leave anyway, because it wasn't going to work. If we try to force that for any longer, you're going to see negative returns on that. However, the stats don't lie. I mean, they were good. The system worked. Some of those challenges, I think, are on the players. You know, some of those players probably are partying too hard. I mean, there's a lot of discontent on this team right now. It's not just towards Vic Fangio, by the way. You've got players like Javon Holland also going after Blake Ferguson, because Blake Ferguson was like happy that the Baltimore Ravens lost. And then Javon's like, why don't you just shut up and like not take shots at other teams? They beat us fair and square. So you got a little discontent going on inside the locker room, it feels like. I think everyone's a lot like us. They're just sick of each other. They needed to get away. They're grumpy. I mean, you got things going on with Tyreek Hill outside of work that may be affecting him. We're not even going to talk about Tyreek Hill today, but I mean, wow, what a shit show is going on with him. There's so much, but you're absolutely right. And when I look at this, Chris, it looks to me like the defense itself worked. The Vic Fangio system worked. Vic Fangio doesn't work. So if we're looking to replace Vic Fangio, maybe we're not looking to replace Vic Fangio's system, if that makes any sense. We need to have an updated version, an iPhone 15, to use that same analogy, that can still run the system, but, you know, with today's technology, so to speak. So I did take a look at some of the different coaches that have been rumored to be coming to the Miami Dolphins. Do you want to take a, I mean, do you have any favorites, or do you want to just run through some of these names here and talk it out? Or how would you like to see where we go with the defensive coordinator role?
From last I saw, a few of the ones that are supposedly interviewing or have interviewed, multiple of them have worked with Mike McDaniel in the past, which I think is important coming off this attempt to go outside the box with Vic Fangio, which, by the way, like I do appreciate McDaniel doing it because he's like, this is best for the team. I don't know him, but he's a great coordinator. And if he's available, he's available. That's great. Like, come on down. But now it's like to the point where I tried that. Let me get somebody I'm comfortable with, I can like talk to, that meets the same kind of like standards I have, and has the same kind of, I'm not saying he has to be a goofball running around with his pants pulled up, you know, dabbing everybody up and having fun, but you can't be the polar opposite of it. Like, that's just, come on, Sam, we've all been there. You have siblings. Like, I have siblings. Like, if you had a dad that's like, hey guys, let's watch a movie, that'd be cool. And we're like, yeah. And then like mom comes home from work unexpectedly and she's like the fucking wet towel,
right?
You know, the wet blanket that's just like, oh, no one did the dishes. And you're just like, oh, fuck, fun's over. Like, that was McDaniel in the locker room. And then probably Vangio came in. He's like, shut the fuck up. It's like, I watch film. And they're like, Jesus Christ, like this fucking guy. So you can't have that. So do I have a favorite? No. But I know, I think I want somebody that like is on the same metaphorical like feeling as Mike McDaniel when it comes to coaching and philosophy. One interesting one to me was Leslie Frazier.
Right.
That like came up, left Buffalo. I don't know how, what. He's an older guy, but head coaching experience, and you know, but the stats just don't lead up to what I'm hoping for. I'm thinking of a young guy. What about you, Sam?
Well, let's start with Leslie Frazier, because I put together a list of the names that have been rumored or have interviewed for this DC role, and I do think it is a good role. You know, you look at this, you do have an offense that's pretty explosive. You've got Mike McDaniel, who's going to focus on that side of the ball and continue to focus on that side of the ball. And he's going to, whether it's a good thing or not, probably hand this defense over to whoever the new DC is going to be. It is imperative that that DC has a good working relationship with Mike McDaniel and the players, obviously. But if you do, Mike's going to let you basically run half this team. And I think that's appealing for people. I really do. I mean, this is a playoff team. Let's, all disappointment aside, they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. They've had four consecutive winning seasons. As disappointed as Miami Dolphins are and the fans, that's pretty good success rate. That's through two different head coaches, as well as like 75 different offensive line coaches, 38 offensive coordinators, and now 52 defensive coordinators. So the talent is there. We just have to coagulate everything together. So you said Leslie Frazier. You're right. I mean, he actually was, he's a veteran. And according to ESPN, he is interviewing for the Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator position. He did take the 2023 season off from coaching. I don't know exactly why. It seemed a little bit abrupt as to why he left the Buffalo Bills, but it could be very simple, Chris. He might have just been like waking up one day and go, what the hell am I doing in Buffalo? No, I quit. I'm out. I'll find something else down the road. He's assistant head coach and defensive coordinator for the Bills for 6 years. That defense, at least when they play the Miami Dolphins, seems to give us fits. Even this year, you could see his fingerprints were still there. And he was the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings from 2011 to 2013. He's one of the more experienced defensive coaches out there. He does have a track record with the Buffalo Bills of being very, very good, but he is older. But he's always been one of those guys that seems to connect with players. He certainly has the name recognition, very similar to a Vic Fangio, a very popular guy everywhere he's gone. I could see him fitting. I do think there's a lot of scheme fit as to the talent that we currently have and what Leslie Frazier could do. The challenge that I have, the thought that I have, is he is a little bit older. He did take the last season off. It's very hard to get back into that daily grind of being a coach day in, day out, especially if you've gotten used to maybe taking some time off. Maybe he's more motivated. I don't know. But he is certainly a name out there, and a name that when you at least hear it, you kind of go, ooh, that's interesting, because you would be in some cases hurting your rival with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it would be kind of fun to see Leslie Frazier on our sideline blitzing the shit out of Josh Allen, knocking him on his ass, intercepting those passes, and knowing that we're doing it with quote unquote their guy from the last six or seven seasons.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Leslie Frazier revenge game, you know, that could be a storyline for us when we play Buffalo next year. Yeah. I mean, I like Leslie Frazier. Good guy, good coach, but we're very well respected around the league. He does connect with the players, like you said. But I really am leaning young. I don't know. I just want some like young, innovative guy that comes in and is like, look, I know what I can do with David Long. I know what I can do with Phillips and Chubb, and they come back, and Thieler and Van Ginkle, they're back. So it's just like, yeah, somebody that's just like excited, chomping at the bit, wants to be part of a winner, but also knows that we have a hump to get over. McDaniels, you mentioned this a few episodes ago. If McDaniel will be on the hot seat, I mean, I he's not certainly not up for coach of the year. No. But I don't think he's in the hot seat yet. Next year, though, Sam, year three, like when you've already like the darling of the national media and stuff, that's something that we're not normally used to. Joe Philbin wasn't the darling of the national media. Adam Gase was not. Cam Cameron certainly was not. People like this guy and they defend him. They say he's cool. He's like mentioned, like, okay, though, but year three, if you don't start like actually beating good teams, putting together a season, winning a playoff game or two, which is like certainly what you mentioned in your opening press conference as a head coach, in your introductory press conference, you talk about how like cool that is to have the opportunity to be the first playoff win in 20 plus years. You got to do it. You got to do it. And we're not going to give you 5, 6, 7 years to do it. You got to do it in year three. Like it has to happen.
And here's what happened, because the Detroit Lions were one half of football away of going to their first ever Super Bowl, which means they won some playoff games. The team with the now longest drought of playoff victories in the NFL, your Miami Dolphins. So, yeah, you have to win at least one playoff game to consider your coaching career here a success. And you have to do that by getting the appropriate defensive coordinator. Now, you mentioned a young guy here, Chris, and that's the guy that people are coming around to. But when you first heard it, people kind of went, "Gugh." But this guy has, he checks the box for being a young guy. He's 41. He's relatively young. He's been a head coach, actually a 500 record as a head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, I'm talking about Brandon Staley. He has interviewed for the Miami Dolphins to be their defensive coordinator. Got fired in December of this past year because he wasn't a very good head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers, as a lot of first-time head coaches turn out to be. That first time is a little bit of a practice run, and then they come back after that mulligan and hopefully get better. But in order to do that, they tend to take that step back and be a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator again, something along those lines. But here's the thing. Brandon Staley is considered to be a pretty good defensive coach. Before he became the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, he was the defensive coordinator for Sean McVay and the Rams. That year, that defense ranked first in both yards and points. So this guy knows how to get it done. I just talked about the stats that Vic Fangio had, and they were all pretty much top 10 in just about every statistical category. This guy was number one. Now, granted, it's one season, it's a small sample size, and he was able to ride that to be a head coach. But Brandon Staley runs the Vic Fangio system. He has head coach experience. He's a younger guy. He's coming from the LA market, possibly to Miami. Seems to be part of that same similar coaching tree as Mike McDaniel. At least they're rubbing elbows next to, you know, friends of one another. What do you think of Brandon Staley reclaiming his career? Maybe similar to what Adam Capers did after he was done being a head coach, went back to being a defensive guru, including a stint in Miami. What are your thoughts on Brandon Staley, young guy at 41, maybe pairing up with other young guy, Mike McDaniel, 41, and running the defensive side of the ball, using that Vic Fangio system, but with a younger, maybe more engaging voice for the defensive stars?
I don't know about him, man. He's all the analytics and stuff and went for it on fourth down. That's what he's kind of known for. And their defense statistically wasn't great in LA when he was the head coach and calling the defense. I think he actually gave up play calling duties and gave it to another coach like midseason or something like that. I may be wrong on that. That happened to a few coaches, but obviously they weren't closing out games starting with week one in Miami when you know, we went down and fucking came, that comeback was pretty epic when it comes to that game there. I don't know. He's a young guy. He is analytical and smart. He does fit McDaniel. It makes sense. He's interviewing. I don't think he'd be an instant head coach candidate, even if we have like a good defense this first year, because right. You're usually done like a year or two, like you have to coordinate again. So he's kind of in it for another like year three and four and possibly five with McDaniel, which would be nice. And then he can get back into coaching because he's still in his mid 40s. But I don't know about him, man. I'm torn on it because I actually kind of like him just as a press conference and stuff. And seeing him in his games, like in the interviews he's had with reporters and things like that. But I'm not sitting there like, fuck yeah, get him. He's great. I mean, he just got fired because he's not a good head coach, and he had a ton of talent over there and didn't maximize it. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm on a fence with him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's a guy that probably needs to have a stronger head coach presence for the next couple of years and really learn on how to work with a team and what to do day in and day out, because he struggles with game day decisions, and that's really what we don't need.
Please keep that away from us.
So I can understand that too, but here's another guy kind of in that same realm. So a couple guys that we have interviewed or will be interviewing are actually internal candidates, so I'm just going to hit them both at the same time. One is Ryan Slowick. Now, Ryan Slowick has been around the league for a long time. In fact, his father was actually a defensive coordinator for about 10 years, Bob Slowick, in the NFL. His brother is kind of that name right now, Bobby Slowick, who's the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. He's that guy that everyone's starting to interview, kind of like that Ben Johnson that we were talking about with the Detroit Lions. He's that sexy name that's going to be a head coach one day. So Ryan Slowick has been around this league for a long time, bounced around to a bunch of different organizations. He was our outside linebackers coach this past season. Outside linebackers did pretty good for us. Now, you can give that credit to Vic Fangio and the talent that's there, but their position coach deserves some credit as well. He's 42, 43 years old. He's still somewhat of an up-and-comer. His brother's getting all that run right now. His father was a defensive coordinator in the NFL for a decade. He's got that pedigree of knowing football. He's kind of a dork. He kind of looks like a nerd, just like Mike McDaniel. So maybe we just lean into that cool nerd type of mentality with a Ryan Slowick. But we also interviewed his coworker, Anthony Campanile. Now, most people know Anthony or Tony because he's the guy that talked really gruff during Hard Knocks and handed out the cakes and said fucking and war and all that other shit for the most part. And was really the face of the defensive coaching staff on Hard Knocks. He's been with the Dolphins for about four seasons as the linebackers coach in general. He did interview for the Giants role for DC. Plus, he was also the linebackers coach at Michigan. So, you know, Stephen Ross likes him. He was also at Boston College. So two in-house candidates, Anthony Campanile, who is a TV star in the making, given what he did for Hard Knocks, and Ryan Slowick, who sort of has that pedigree coaching in his blood from his dad to his brother and now him. What do you think of either one of those two guys?
Give me Anthony, man. I like Tony a lot. He just that fired up, like, I don't know. I liked him at Hard Knocks. He's been around the franchise for a couple of years. He's a young guy. He played linebacker and safety himself for Rutgers. He's, you know, 6'1", 222, still hitting the weight room, can work out with the dudes. Like, reminds me of like a very like, I don't know, like discounted Dan Campbell. Like, yeah, just kind of will fire up, will lift some weights, can show him game film. Look at me at Rutgers in 2001. Hell yeah. You know, type of guy. And I don't know. He just seems like he doesn't have a ton of defense coordinator experience. He was like a co-defense coordinator at Boston College for a year, mostly a linebacker coach, secondary coach here and there. But fuck it, give him a chance, man. Like, I think that would be fucking cool to just like give him a shot. Young guy, been around the program. The players seem to like gravitate towards him and stuff. And I always love a coach that has like a cool like idea or premise, like the cake. That's just something different that the players look forward to, and I think that's neat.
Yeah, so out of those two, I think Anthony Campanile is one of those guys. If you're looking for that art of coaching, like we talked about, he seems like a guy that the team can rally around, both offense and defense. He seems like he's a good culture fit and not so out on his own island there that he won't listen to Mike McDaniel and can't take direction on how to be a better coach as he elevates his game up to that next level of defensive coordinator. But there are a couple other candidates. Anthony Weaver, who I believe was an assistant head coach and defensive specialist coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore has a great defense day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Their defensive coordinator just got named as the Seattle Seahawks coach earlier today as we record. So it's very possible that Anthony Weaver gets elevated to that defensive coordinator position in Baltimore. That seems to be how they do it there. It's a great system. He does have defensive coordinator experience with Houston a couple of years ago when they weren't very good. So I don't know if he wants that on there, but this guy was a defensive end for the Baltimore Ravens. He was a second round pick. He was a talented player. And if you want to get somebody who's going to get the most out of your pass rush specialist, especially if we have to put something together on the cheap because we're going to be down our two specialists for part of next year, he might be a guy, Chris, that makes a lot of sense to pair with Mike McDaniel. He played the game. He was in the league. Defensive players have to listen to him. They have to respect him. He was highly touted as a second-round pick. He's done it as a coach. What do you think of Anthony Weaver possibly for the Miami Dolphins as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I like it a lot. A former player, part of a fantastic defense currently, one game away from the Super Bowl, honestly, and maximizing his talent with Roquan Smith and with Patrick Queen and those guys, Hamilton. He just – anybody that has former experience that's been around some great coaching and great strong franchises, like you mentioned, that already have been known for decades of good defenses, that just, you know, reeks of success because they've seen what that looks like. They see what the day-to-day is. They've had great examples presented in front of them as far as how that looks, what goes into it to be successful. And having a guy like that to come in and get his first opportunity as a defensive coordinator, I think would be fantastic.
Yeah. I got one other name that I'm going to throw your way. He's right in that same early 40s category. This guy's interesting to me because he's currently with the Houston Texans. He's got the pedigree, with his father being Monty Kiffin and his brother being Lane Kiffin. Of course, I'm talking about Chris Kiffin, 42 years old, just turned 42. So he's a young 42, Chris. And this is a guy whose name keeps popping up. He did spend some time with the San Francisco 49ers and cross paths with Mike McDaniel when he was there. So he's got the allegedly, or at least you would assume, he's got the rapport with Mike McDaniel. He's got the name with Monty Kiffin and Lane Kiffin around there. 42 years old. He's not a guy who's necessarily going to go and be a head coach right away. Apparently interviewed with us. Again, he's with the Houston Texans, who had a fantastic season all the way around. I still think they're a little bit of fool's gold, but, you know, credit to him and what he was able to do as a linebackers coach for the Houston Texans. Guy that you aren't getting a lot of run, but they did interview him late last week from when we're recording this, Chris. Your thoughts, if any, on Chris Kiffin?
I like it, man. Like, just... you know, you're Lane Kiffin's younger brother. You've been a part of some of those teams. He's more of an offensive guru. Your dad is Monty Kiffin, one of the best defensive coaches in history. So you're around him. That's dining room dinner talk, yeah, at the table. Is Lane, like, how would I beat that kind of defense? Like, you wouldn't, unless you ran a double post and a slant underneath. And he's like, I'm fucking doing that on my offense. And then Chris comes in and he's like, all right, Dad, what did you do to stop this? And he can tell him, and he has that. So the Kiffin name, I like. I like Lane Kiffin a lot. I think he's a cool coach. It's like, you know, Daniel Tosh's random brother. Like, he just looks just like him. But yeah, a linebacker coach that learned and coached with D'Amico Ryans, who's arguably the coach of the year, in my opinion, for what he's done for the Texans team his first year. To have somebody like that that's been around college, been around the NFL, has ties with Mike McDaniel too, I wouldn't mind it. I like Anthony Campanelle, I like Weaver, and I like Kiffin. All three, I would be happy with either one.
Yeah, well, little side note about Chris Kiffin. When I'm looking at him, because I didn't know what he looked like, he didn't look like Lane, didn't look like Monty. He's a fat guy. And you know my affinity for fat guy coaches, Chris. As of 2 years ago, you and I, when we were talking about who's going to be the next head coach for the Miami Dolphins, you and I talked a lot about Brian Daboll and the importance of being a fat guy coach, somebody who doesn't take care of himself because he's spending so much time eating junk food while watching tape and just being football. We're not alone in that, Chris, because this past week I was tipped off that a certain comedian slash political pundit had a very similar take. And if you go watch Real Time with Bill Maher and you listen to his new rules segment, you will see, even with a picture of Mike McDaniel up there, some very interesting similarities between what you and I talked about 2 years ago and what Bill Maher is now getting credit for apparently coming up with 2 years into the future about how fat guy coaches are the best kind of coaches. So maybe Chris Kiffin, being a fat guy defensive coordinator, can help us out and get us to that next level. But also, thank you to all the writers of the Bill Maher Real Time with Bill Maher show who are apparently listeners of this show, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, when you sent me that today, that was pretty interesting. We've joked that our stuff's been like kind of ripped off before, but holy shit. He even used like every picture he used was a coach we named, like Andy Reid, John Madden, like Bill Parcells, out of shape Belichick. Like, you got to be a big dude. Rex Ryan, Tony Soprano, like, that's, you got to be a big dude to be a good coach. Like, this is the way it goes.
Well, there you go. So Chris has given you his top three favorites as of the names that I gave him. So you got Chris Kiffin, and maybe he likes that because that almost sounds like Chris Cullen. You've got Anthony Weaver, a guy who did it on the field and is now doing it as a coach. And, of course, Anthony Campanile, a star in the making, already here, wouldn't have to pack his bags, just got to move to the bigger office if he were to get that role. There's lots of names out there. They can go veterans. I mean, obviously, it's a pretty big spread as to what the Miami Dolphins are looking for, because that tells me, Chris, that they don't know what they're looking for, because they're going with veterans who have head coach experience, to youngins who've never coached really more than anything in their life, to, you know, people that have names established with other coaches in their family tree. It's a big spread for Chris Greer and of course, Mike McDaniel. But I'm hoping they get it right, because if they can get the right person in here who can not only take the science of what Vic Fangio was able to accomplish last year and combine it with the art, then I think you might have an elite defense. But speaking of that defense, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to listen to some commercials, probably about some shit that we don't know what it is. And then we're going to come back and actually talk about the defense in general. No more coaching, just players. And we'll finish it off right after these words. All right, we're back. Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux, talking about the defense for the Miami Dolphins in 2023. We already talked about it, Chris. Looking at the stats, they stopped the run. They were pretty good against the pass. They were top 10 in like points allowed and yards allowed and all those other fun stuff. But at the end of the day, the Miami Dolphins defense has a potential problem. Number one, their defensive coordinator left. Number two, the players that coordinator was coaching seemed to be happy that he left, which is an odd sign because, as we just talked about, the stats were pretty darn good. But let's just start from the back of the defense and work our way forward, because there's a couple of names that may not be here next year across all of these lines. And I wanted to get your take as to what the Miami Dolphins are going to do, because as of right now, the Miami Dolphins are about $48 million over the cap. So it's not like they have a lot of room to go out and fix whatever is broken in terms of players in different areas. So they're going to have to get creative, which might mean making some decisions on players that are beloved, or at least names for the Miami Dolphins, no longer being Miami Dolphins. Number one, Jalen Ramsey was worth every penny and every draft pick that we gave up to get him. He missed the first part of the season and came back and was one of the best cornerbacks in the league, which is no small feat, given he's a little bit older than he was, obviously, and coming off of a torn meniscus where we thought he might miss the whole season. He came back in November and absolutely kicked ass, including almost getting a pick six in his return game. Jalen Ramsey, I think, can do just about anything. He seems to love being in Miami. He wanted to be here. I don't think that's changed, that he didn't get along with Vic Fangio. So I do think whatever defensive coordinator we get is going to have to be jiving with Jalen Ramsey. But Jalen Ramsey looks like he's a star in the making. Continues to be a star, I should say. Kader Kohou, who was a star in the making, I think he took a step back. He took a step back in this one. Now, he's more of a nickelback. He's not one of those guys that should be on the boundary, clearly, after what we saw this year. But he's pretty good about blitzing. And he had to play way more than I think we anticipated. And I think he got exposed as an undrafted free agent that he is. I don't think he's going anywhere, Chris, because the Miami Dolphins need cheap talent, given that cap situation that they have. Javon Holland, pretty good player. He didn't take the full next step like I expected him to. But again, he didn't seem to like this defensive coordinator, and maybe it came through on his play. He had some amazing plays, including that pick six on the Hail Mary against the New York Jets. That's going to go down as one of the greatest plays of the season, not just for the Miami Dolphins, but in general. The talent is there, no denying that. Really bad injuries to both knees. I'm concerned about that long term, but he's not going anywhere unless the Miami Dolphins need to free up some cap room and can leverage his talent to go get some cheap draft picks and come back. And maybe they do that. I don't know. That's been thrown out there. That's been posited both about him and Jalen Waddle, which we'll talk about on another episode. But then you get to Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard, pretty much every offseason, becomes that name. Is he going to stay? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to resign? Xavien Howard's going to cost this team a ton of money. And Xavien Howard, this is the first year, and it breaks my heart to say it, he's just not the player that he was, in my opinion. And I think that was exposed. He's injured often. He doesn't seem to care. He was beat like a rented mule multiple times over, Chris. That's your starting defensive backfield, along with, of course, Deshaun Elliott, who played very well when he was in there, made some boneheaded plays, but I liked Deshaun Elliott back there. I thought he was actually a pretty good leader for the defensive backfield. I'm not going to get deep into the defensive backs. I'm talking more about the starters and the people that played a lot, those five names that we mentioned. But what are your thoughts on those five? Who stays, in your opinion, and who possibly is going to be replaced?
Well, Ramsey is my, by far, favorite defensive player of the season. I mean, he just came back and completely flipped the entire team upside down with his swag, with his play, with his just presence on the field, Sam. You felt it. Every player next to him was like, I can play a little bit better. I got fucking Jalen Ramsey next to me. Yeah. And he knew it. It's like one of those, you just whip your dick out and you know it's huge and you just put it on the table and you're like, look at it. That's what Jalen Ramsey was when he came back.
His dick is so big that it had a torn meniscus in that dick. It had a joint with a torn meniscus.
Elbow as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's the type of guy, like I used him as motivation for a kid that I coached that tore his meniscus. And I said, watch his journey and follow him. He's 1-0 day one. He's 2-0 day two. I mean, like he literally attacked rehab. I was like, I'm fucking not letting this team down. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to play. And he fucking did. He came back extremely early based on projections. And not only was like not just himself, but was incredible. Like he played phenomenal. Like he really did. So Jalen Ramsey, my favorite player, he's staying. He has to stay. That is the kind of swag you need for a defense to win playoff games, to win in January. Because you need that guy that's going to come out and put his dick on the table. Like that's basically what you need. Kuhu, huge drop off this year. I mean, I'm torn on him because I think last year he was so much better than expectations because of his undraftedness, undrafted status. But we had expectations this year, and he just didn't meet them. And is that fair? I don't know. Did teams have film? Did they find things that like they can expose? Possibly. I'm with you on X, man. I hate it. Been such a great player for us, somebody that we have spent a lot of money on, but I really like to go elsewhere and try to get one in the mid rounds, a free agent to pair with Jalen Ramsey and really see what Cam Smith has because Chris Greer had to have been like, hitting the table a little bit. That's his draft pick and Fangio's not even letting him like even attempt to play. It was odd to me. So that might be one of those things where a coach was holding a player back, especially from their, abilities. And then when it comes to like Brandon Jones and Elliott, things like that, those guys, I mean, they did what they did. Kahu needs to really have a better year or we can upgrade that position. But X is gone. I'm looking at us replacing him for sure.
Yeah. I mean, X is 31 years old. He's not getting, his body's not going to get magically better. He's hurt all the time, whether it's his feet, whether it's his toes, hips, knees, groins. He had a multiple groin injury 2 years ago. But I think you just hit it on the head. You really got to see what Cam Smith is all about. And maybe you can't grade with the Vic Fangio lens because Fangio didn't seem to like him. Maybe Cam Smith is one of those players that was going out as a rookie in Miami going, this is how my life is now. And he wasn't quite ready for it, but you can't.
Or he could have been one of those players that like he practices okay, but when the lights come on, like fucking shit goes down and he's a great player in a game. There's players like that. And Fangio didn't give him one chance to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, the challenge with Xavien right now is that if we were to cut him, I believe his cap hits like $27 million. So that's the dead cap. So I don't really know what you can do with him. He might be here another season. I think next year the cap actually becomes a little bit better. But you got to rely on him less. I think you got to have Cam Smith step up. He's on a rookie contract. He was a second round pick. He's going to have to show something. Igbinoghene didn't do anything for being a first round pick except for one interception against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what, 4 years. And we put him out there all the damn time. You got to let him go out there and sink or swim. And if he doesn't do well, then fine. At least you know what you have or don't have. But right now, we don't know what we have in Cam Smith. So I'd like to see Cam Smith get a little more run. Maybe put Kohu, who does have a lot of relevant experience, but keep him to special teams and nickel situations. I mean, don't put him on the boundary. If one of those guys gets hurt, meaning Xavier or Jalen Ramsey, then you got to go somewhere else and not Eli Apple either. I think you need to see what Cam Smith has. I also think you could potentially see yet another mid-round pick on a defensive back, which seems odd to me, but not everyone's going to be back. I mean, we've got three safeties back there. I think if we're lucky, two of them come back. Javon's got one of those locked down. It's going to be whether Deshaun Elliott or others come in when it comes to that other safety position. And of course, whoever you're going to bring in as a free agent or our draft pick. But Xavier's the wild card. I think it's time for him to move on. I just don't know contractually if we can. That's the only challenge. But you can't kick that can down the road. I mean, you can't redo his contract yet again and just really put that money into another year. I feel like that's going to be dangerous and taboo. But he would be my candidate to be replaced. And if so, I think Cam Smith is going to be your top candidate to replace him. I just think that's what it is. Now, moving on to the linebackers, we talked a lot about those linebackers coaches and them possibly being the new DC. I thought this linebacker crew did better than expected. I didn't expect Andrew Van Ginkel to succeed as much as he did in this Vic Fangio system. I thought he was maybe a product of the Josh Boyer system, but he proved that he can play just about anything, anywhere, and be successful, because that's a credit to Andrew Van Ginkel. If you want to place the linebackers of Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb as your outside linebackers, they were having phenomenal seasons before they got injured. To your point, not sure if they're coming back or not next year, but we certainly can't rely on the people like Melvin Ingram and Justin Houston, who was celebrating with the Chiefs after the Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins, even though Justin Houston was on the Miami Dolphins at the time. That was yet another thing that people didn't quite like, Justin Houston celebrating with the Chiefs after the playoff win. Obviously, he was from there previously. But Duke Riley is another name that's in there. David Long had, you talked about Jalen Ramsey being your favorite player. David Long, maybe not my favorite player, but he was up there. This dude was consistent. He was healthy. He was always getting into the middle of things and sticking his hat on the ball carrier and the ball. And you team him up with Jerome Baker, who I thought had a renaissance season. I thought this was Jerome Baker's best season. And he was one of those guys that we were targeting before this season, Chris, as, hey, he's got a big cap number next year. He might not be back. But I thought he played himself into staying. Maybe he's a guy that you can extend and get some salary cap magic happening, or you can get a little bit more room and free up some room. But what are your thoughts overall with those players? Those are the main players for the Miami Dolphins at linebacker this season.
All good. Duke Riley is absolute fucking days old garbage. Yeah. Like, we have to upgrade our backup middle linebacker, because when Baker went out, he was absolutely targeted by the Ravens. And he just is not good. Not good at all. Reminds me of a worse Channing Crowder, who would have 5-6 tackles, but they're all 30 yards down the field because he took a bad angle or filled the wrong hole. Like David Long, Baker definitely had a better year. Van Ginkel, have to resign him. Chubb and Phillips, get well soon. Duke Riley, fucking see you. What a weird name. And then your hair, I'm done with it. A linebacker at 45. Number 45. I just so many things to not like, and he seems like a chill, cool dude. Like, I'm not, this isn't personal, but like, we have to upgrade that spot.
Yeah, I think you're being a little too hard on Duke Riley. He leads the league in two-hand touch tackles, as you saw against Patrick Mahomes in that playoff game.
He tagged him really good if he had a Pro Bowl season this weekend and he's playing flag football.
Yeah, I mean, he tagged him with both hands. I saw contact with both hands. It's just unfortunate that Patrick Mahomes cheated and didn't just fall to the ground and instead ran for another 17,000 yards.
That was pathetic, man.
Yeah, it was pathetic. I agree with you. I think Duke Riley isn't a guy that you should be relying on for any stretch of the imagination. He has to go. David Long, who traditionally hasn't been healthy, stayed healthy this season. I don't know if you can rely on that week in and week out next year, but you're obviously keeping David Long. I think Jerome Baker could be a cap casualty, but it's not due to the talent. I thought he was a good leader. You saw a tangible difference when he went down with that knee injury prior to when he was in there. Of course, you can say that about this entire linebacking core, because it was absolutely decimated. I mean, you've got Jalen Phillips, who's going to be out, and who knows what he's going to be when he comes back, coming back from an Achilles tear. You've got Bradley Chubb with an awful knee injury. Andrew Van Ginkel is probably your best player all season long at the linebacker, because he was just so versatile and he did all these different things, and he's a free agent. And you know what? He's not one of those sneaky free agents that people don't know about. He put his name out there. It's going to be tough to re-sign him. I hope he does stay. He seems like a great Miami Dolphin kind of guy. I just don't know where they're going to get the money, Chris. So again, if we can keep this core together and we can get those two outside pass rushers healthy, I think your core is good, but you have to shore up the back end. Some of those guys, including Channing Tindall, don't seem to be relevant or in the mix. So maybe you got to move on from those draft picks from a couple of years ago. He seemed to be the only bad player from that Georgia defense from 3 years ago. And we, of course, drafted him, cha-ching. But you have to upgrade Duke Riley. You have to upgrade Channing Tindall. You have to upgrade the back end and the backups of that middle linebacker core, or else you're just going to be in a really bad spot come this time next year. Now, Chris is trying to talk, but he is muted. So
this is going to lead right in. Sorry about that. It's going to lead right into the discussion of our next position group. And that is, if we do downgrade our defensive line or lose a Christian Wilkins, that's even more important to have an upgraded linebacker crew, because they're going to need to be making more tackles.
Well, with that, let's just tackle, if you will, the defensive tackle group, because this is the last one, probably the biggest strength that we had on defense. Zach Sealer, Christian Wilkins, let's start there. I mean, obviously, Zach Sealer got the bag. He's going to be here. One part of this is down and good and ready to go. Christian Wilkins, you know, we said before the season on the show, Chris, he might need to prove himself in a Vic Fangio system. Is he a system player for Josh Boyer, or is he that guy? And he proved to be that guy. He is a first-round talent. He went out there. Nobody has more tackles in the NFL since Christian Wilkins as a defensive lineman in the history of the league for their first four seasons or five seasons or whatever it is for Christian Wilkins than Christian Wilkins. They told him that he needed to be more of a pass rusher. Guess what? He had more sacks this season than he's ever had before. He went out and answered the bell. The chilling part about all this is Chris Greer, when asked about Christian Wilkins, said he has earned the right to be a free agent. And you know when he said that last? Mike Gesicki. And is Mike Gesicki still here, Chris?
No. Who?
No.
Who?
Yeah. Who? Yeah. It is code for the general manager. I don't think they're going to pay him. I don't think they can afford him. I think Christian Wilkins is going to go somewhere else, and that's going to be a sad day for me.
If we lose Christian Wilkins, agreed. Again, we're going to have to go a week or two without recording, because I just don't want to talk about picturing him on another team, because I've said this 37,000 times on this show, Sam. Christian Wilkins is somebody you love if he's on your team.
Right.
If he's not, I would fucking hate that guy. Just grab, snatching towels, snatching necklaces, you know, going and celebrating with the offense. Like, stay on the fucking field and watch film of the defense. But like with us, we're like, I fucking love this guy. He's such a leader. He's doing cartwheels and shit. Like, he's fucking great. Him and Zach Sealer are such a great pair together. The only way I can see Wilkins staying is if he takes a hometown discount. I don't see that happening. I don't even expect him to. He's earned a huge contract, and I just think it's going to get paid by somebody else. But I will say, talking about the defensive line, I fucking still love Zach Sealer. God damn, that guy had a season. He was so clutch in big moments. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, and I mean, Zach Sealer is a time-honored tradition here for Random White 92. He got the bag. He is no longer Random White. He is Zach Sealer. He has earned his name officially. I would love to see Christian Wilkins back. As far as defensive people that, if priorities in terms of bringing back, I put him over Andrew Van Ginkel, and I love Andrew Van Ginkel. Yes. I think he was my favorite, but Christian Wilkins means so much to this team. He fits the Miami lifestyle and what you think about a Miami player being, like salsa dancing out there, like you said, snatching towels, snatching necklaces, being that pest. He hates Josh Allen. Josh Allen hates him, more importantly. He's a guy that you want on this team for the next 5 years. He should be a 10-year Miami Dolphins veteran. That's what I think. I think you sign him to a 5-year contract. You figure out a way to make this work, even if it means painful decisions elsewhere in this organization. But you got to figure out a way to keep Christian Wilkins. I just don't think they are. I mean, there's some other names there that we like. Raekwon Davis, Deshaun Hand. I thought they played well in limited time. I don't know if any of those guys are necessarily going to be back. But you got Zach Sealer, so you're playing with house money right there. But this is another area that I think the Miami Dolphins will be looking in the draft to supplement. I don't know if it'll be a first-round draft pick, but they're going to look at defensive tackle and defensive end depth, because Emmanuel Ogba, who's another name that we haven't mentioned yet, he ain't going to cut it. He just doesn't have it anymore. He had a couple of good seasons. He got paid, and he really just isn't the guy in this defense. I mean, it just showed. It just showed when he had to step up, he didn't. He got most of his stats in garbage time. So you're going to have to figure out Emmanuel Ogba. He's gone. I don't think he's going to stay. Christian Wilkins most likely is gone, which I hate. But if you have to let Christian Wilkins go, you have to figure out something for the middle of that defense to go with Zach Sealer. But if they can figure out how to keep Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer together, that's probably the best bet. But
salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper. Let's hope. Let's hope that we get salt and pepper for the next number of years. But that's the defense, guys. I mean, they played pretty well. If you look at the stats, they had a number of injuries. I mean, we had more games lost due to injuries than any other team this season. It's insane. When, yeah, it might be the curse. It might be, I don't know what, but they got to figure out a way to stay healthy. They got to get a defensive coordinator that can lead this whole team and work with this bunch of, you know, egos and veterans and young guys. They got to figure out how Cam Smith can actually get on the field next year, and they got to figure out their backup linebackers. They need depth there. But Christian Wilkins and Andrew Van Ginkel should be priority one and two. Getting Cam Smith on the field is probably priority number three. And figuring out how to get all of those pieces together with the current ones and stay under the cap. They got their work cut out for them because they don't even have a defensive coordinator right now as of this recording. So that's your defense, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Perfectville. Almost an hour talking defensive coordinator, talking, you know, options for defensive coordinator, talking about stats and what the future looks like. You know, this team's got a lot of work to do. They got some cap exercises that they got to get done with Chris Greer in that front office to make this work. Coming up next couple episodes, we're going to do special teams. We're also going to do offense. That should be fun, considering where we started and where we ended. Chris, anything else we want to talk about? What is your thought about the defense in general going into 2024? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Where are you at, given everything that we just talked about and deconstructed on this episode?
Cautiously optimistic, because they were good but unlucky, and now we have a new coach too. So ask me when we have a new coach named and what his philosophy and scheme is, because that's going to play a big part of like how I feel about going into 2024.
All right. Well, I'm going to predict that new coach is exactly one of your top three. I'm going to say it's Anthony Campanile. He's going to be the next head coach. Well, the next defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins here in 2024. That's my official pick. But yeah, I will. I'll ask you whenever that defensive coordinator is picked, and we'll go from there. I'm with you. I'm cautiously pessimistic, I think, just because of that salary cap. We don't have a whole lot. I mean, the Bills are worse than we are, but we got some people that we have to replace. And if they got to figure out a way to get Xavier Howard off the books, they got to get Cam Smith coming in and looking relatively okay. And like we talked about, somehow figure out Andrew Van Ginkel and Christian Wilkins. But it's a good episode. I'm a little depressed, but I needed to talk it out. I needed the therapy session there, Chris.
Yeah, you and me both, I guess. Same old fucking Dolphins.
Same old Dolphins. All right. Well, on behalf of the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer, and of course myself, presented by BetOnline.ag, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
In real time. Maybe I'll steal a couple more jokes from us, huh?
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.